life, knowing Jesus. And a few Sundays ago, after I taught the first message in that series, Don came up to me afterwards. And by the way, the kiddos are dismissed to go play if their parents are fine with that. You can go play. Don came up to me after the service and said, "Hey, I've got a testimony about that. This is my story that you're sharing with me right now." So I just wanted him to get to share this. I told him he doesn't need to add a lot of scriptures or anything. It's really just a personal story of how he's experienced the sorts of things we're talking about. Sometimes it's really nice to not just hear something and be like, "Yeah, that's a great revelation," but you can kind of put a face with it and you can see the effect of it. And what does that mean when people either get that or don't get that? You know, and so Don's had kind of three tiers of experience, and he's going to share those today, and I think it'll be helpful as like a example. All right, so great. Lord bless Don.
Thanks, Peter, and thank you all for listening to me. Anyways, as Peter said, what I'm going to be talking about, I try to correlate with what he's teaching about my experiences through life. So I can get kind of start from the very beginning. As growing up as a little kid, parents divorced, lived with my grandmother. She went to a church, and we had to go to church. That's the way it was.
You're going
to church. That's my first recollection of going to any church. Well, that church was very legalistic. So legalistic, follow the law, pretty much. So through that, I learned a lot about Scripture. So in that, also when I was 14, after we had, like when I was 5, I guess I can jump around a little bit. I'm not the polished speaker. But 5 to 8 is when we lived with my grandmother. So she introduced me to Christianity, basically. And so 1972, long time ago, we were still going to the same church as my grandmother, but we just didn't live with her. And they brought in a young speaker. And our church was full of my age people, it seemed like to me. You know, my wife could attest, I thought everybody was old. I'm young, everybody else is old. So that's just the way I looked at things as being a little kid. But this guy was different. And so our thing was you had to go to the altar, you had to profess, and then you had to be baptized right then. If you were at home, well, okay, which I did, and my brothers, and this fellow was just phenomenal. He brought something to this church that nobody else did. And so it's like he really brought Jesus into it, because we were hearing the law a lot. You know, the Old Testament, it just kind of was that mixed thing. And so when he came, it was like, wow, there's something different with this guy. And so he baptized my two brothers at that time. I have three now, but my two brothers and I, we all came to the Lord that day. Or not that same day, but at that time. And so this was like, wow, this is this is like new, this is great. So the way this church is too is like, if I was at home and I accepted the Lord, I had to call the pastor and get to the church right away and be baptized, because if I got hit and got killed, I wasn't going to church or going to heaven, you know. So I guess I'm just saying, this is my mind, this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
So this was, I guess, good in a lot of ways. It's good stuff, but it's got that stuff that's kind of mixing you up, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyways, the church fell apart, basically. They kind of fired that guy. I don't know why, but I was like,
too much joy.
Yeah. I was disenchanted. I was like, I'm out of here. Well, I wasn't completely out of here, but I was kind of out of there.
Because you still had to go.
Still. Right. So I went and got beat up every day. Every time I went to church, it was like I was getting beat up. It's like, man, I'm not dealing with this. So as older I got, I think I'm 17 at the time, How'd it go? My mom, I'm living with my mom. She's remarried. She comes down and said, you're going to church this morning? I said, no. She says, well, grandma's on the phone. And grandma, grandma brought me introduced me. So I'm not trying to be talking bad about her, but this is her. She's like, this is what she knows. So she's like, she says, you're going to hell if you don't go to church. And I was like, well, then I'm going to hell. And I don't think that's the way it works. So tell her that. So that's where I was. So as a 17-year-old kid through all the way probably up to about late 20s, you know, it's like, I'm doing my own thing. I'm not really walking with the Lord. You know, he's right. I think he's there. I know he's good. Just don't know. So then Sherry's looking for a church to go to, and I'm not really hip on it, but we end up finding a church to go to, and this church introduced me to Grace. And I'm like, oh, that guy, he knows the stuff. He's talking to me, and I learned so much. It was like, when I opened the Bible, it's like the words just jumped right out at me. You know, it's like, wow, this is awesome. I'm just like, yeah, what he's saying, that's good. That's good. I never saw it that way before. So he's a doctor. You know, you have to have a doctorate. Well, you don't have to have it, but it's just where at this church you went to theology and graduated. And so you're teaching theology. So I took a theology class. Sherry and I did there. It's a college credit thing, and learned all the ologies. And, you know, all that's good, but it still was like, do I really know God? And I didn't know if I did. I just was like, I'm learning all this stuff. I could talk to people about things. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can find that in Scripture. I can back it up. To go back to the first church, you know, tongues was evil. You know, that's where that was. Mm-hmm. At this church, yeah, it's just a different language. You never talked about prophecy. You never studied the book of Acts, really. If you did, it was picked apart. So it just was, I want my glasses here. It was just a lot of head knowledge in a sense. But I grew as a person. I still wanted to witness to people. And I did. I would probably get into some conversations with people. And it probably wasn't the greatest conversation to have with people, how I went about it, but I was trying. And I was thinking of what I had to do, you know, where I stood. So I learned about the sovereignty of God. You know, he's omnipotent and all this stuff, you know, just how great he is, which he is, and he's holy. But everything that I learned was like kind of through a man's perspective. And that's what theology pretty much is in my eyes. It's just like, this is a man that's telling you what he knows about the Bible. And so if I was to try to talk to somebody about, okay, I know this friend of mine, he's talking to me about tongues. What do I tell him? Here, take this book, read this book. And you can just steer him this way. So, I mean, I just was like, you weren't breaking down that wall about tongues to me, or anything about being filled with the Spirit and that kind of thing. You really didn't talk about the Holy Spirit that much. It was, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit thing. So, like, really is, I thought I had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I did because I was born again, but how do I really use that? You know, it's like I go back to when Jesus freed the only apostles and they were born again. But he says, wait. You know, he says, wait, because if you wait, I'll send you the promise of the Father, and that will make you a witness, a true witness. I mean, I'm not saying a lot of people can do good without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Kind of getting a little ahead of myself, but that's kind of where that was. So, anyways, I learned, and I felt like I was in a good place. I was serving in the church. Great. I don't know if I need them anyways, but so I was serving in the church, loved doing it, had a lot of friends. So it got to be where this church kind of had its own problems too, and I just like, why is this going, this kind of stuff going on? But Sherry at the time has been in my ear a lot about Spirit-filled church, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it. It's like, I don't need to worry about that. I am born again. I have the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you know, I have him. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. But she kept talking to me about it, but it was just kind of like hitting that brick wall, bouncing off. So Christina and Aaron had been going to a church. That's my daughter and my son-in-law. And so we decided to go, and it was Village Vineyard. Well, wow. Spirit-filled church. First day I went. First day I went, who's speaking? This man over here, Brad.
Went on for 2 hours.
Yeah, he's talking.
That was the closing.
Yeah, his third closing. Yeah. So, in each church, I've met a man that made a difference. Pretty much.
That's good. Yeah.
So, I'm sitting in the upper, we had the upper balcony then, and the place was pretty much packed. And I'm looking at the guy and I say, man, there's something different about that guy. What is it? And I just kept thinking about that. I said, man, I've never heard this kind of stuff before. This is awesome. So, get my notes. So, anyways, that was my introduction. Joshua Weir was the head pastor at the time, and he did a lot of teachings on baptism of the Holy Spirit. I knew nothing about that. Didn't really, at first, want to know about it. Probably kind of scared about it. So, all this stuff going on, and I remember telling my friend, I said, man, this church is weird. It's like, there's all this stuff going on. It's like, I've never done this before. You know, it's like, this is, I guess I'll just kind of hang in there. But there was always something that kept making me come back. So we would, I don't know how many years, probably 3 years of this, of learning about the Holy Spirit, which I really didn't know much about, and just knew there was something that's like, okay, I guess I have to kind of open my heart on this issue, because my mind's just not like going there, because I can't really think about this right. Mm-hmm. And so Brad teaches again. And he's teaching about Jesus getting baptized. And I've heard this verse a lot. I've read it. And the Holy Spirit came on. And I was like, yeah? But why am I hearing it and seeing it different now than before. And it's just like, well, when he had to do it, it's like, well, why would Jesus have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Why? He's God. He has the Holy Spirit. So I'm like, what is going on? I can't. So I remember going right up to Brad. I said, man, Brad. I don't know if we had introduced, I think we knew each other by then. I said, I never looked at that verse that way before. I never saw that. And so we had a little conversation. And but anyways, that was the beginning of me, like, I should do this. Because Jesus had to do it. But I didn't know why at that time yet. Why did he have to do it? Well, he didn't do any miracles before that either. But he was God.
Come on.
Certainly he was a good witness to everyone around him. He taught in the temple when he was, what, 13 or 12 or whatever it was. So he did a lot of good. But he didn't do the spiritual. And, you know, God set the law here to where at that time, if you correct me if I'm going to be wrong a little bit here, but the way I see it, at that time before Jesus poured out his spirit, or God did because of what Jesus did, the Holy Spirit was only on being anointed on a person. One person. And that's just the way he set up the laws down here. I mean, he set up the world that has laws. And he gave the authority. We lost the authority. We lost the authority. We had it. Adam and Eve had it. They wanted to know the good and the evil because they were deceived. So the Holy Spirit could only be on one person at a time. And so that made it different to everybody else back then. Just imagine being back there and you didn't have that help. So Jesus, you know, died. He laid his life down for us. And that, okay, if I back up, I decide to take the invitation for baptism in the Holy Spirit, which Joshua had, he would do these once in a while. Like, if you want to get baptized by the Holy Spirit, come on down. So I was like, yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm ready. It's like, I can see this is a benefit. And what I was learning was, but I didn't quite have the grasp. Not that I have all of it now, but what I'm learning that he wants you to have this. Because it'll help you down here. I'm already saved. I've been saved since I was 14. Did I struggle? Oh, yeah. Did I make a lot of bad decisions? A lot. But I have the friend, the counselor who helps me. Not that he wasn't there before. It's just that I didn't really get it, how to access. So, anyways, I took that invitation, and when I went down, it was like, when I accepted the Lord, I knew that happened, you know. I was like, man, I'm different. But it kind of just waned because of the way situations were. When I got baptized by the Holy Spirit, I was like, it was like, if you took a baby, this is what I've always used this expression, if you took a baby in front of you and blew in its face and he'd go, probably does it every time, the baby. Well, that's what happened to me. I said I wanted it, and it was like a, phew, I was like, oh, what was that? What was that? And so I'm a changed man because of that. And I was a changed man when I was, well, I was born again, and I always knew I was secure in my spirit, kind of. But now I know. Because he's told me. Now I'm getting my, I get the personal stuff because each one of us can have, or do have, that personal revelation, and that's the difference between the head knowledge and the heart knowledge,
yeah. mm-hmm.
is that he's directly talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not this, what he's telling me is kind of in generality is probably the same for all of us, but it's your own personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
He can't give that to anybody else, and he won't. He's given your personal thing to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, by example, I remember I had never got in front of anybody in my life except for work. I was supervisor at one time, and I had to, you know, gather the guys, and this is what's going on, what we have to do, blah, blah, blah. But it was all that kind of stuff. So now all of a sudden I'm like, Joshua, can I go up and say something? What is it? So I tell him, sure, yeah, go say that. Like, all right. Of course, when I get up there, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. So I'm sure a lot of people have seen me, not my best. But what the Lord gave me right immediately was, first of all, he showed me who had the authority now, and it was me.
Amen.
Because of him.
Amen.
He showed me that the devil was just a little imp.
Amen.
And I could say, get out of here at any moment, and he needs to leave.
Amen.
I'm the ruler. I have the authority back because I have because of what Jesus did. It's not because of me.
Right.
I control. I keep that stuff that bounces in my head. It swirls, goes around in there. I can say, get out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Or you can let that absorb. And it's like, that's when you kind of have to watch. You got to, like, okay, got to knock that back out. Because we're all human and, you know, we can mm-hmm. let our guard down a little bit. But anyway, so he showed me that. He showed me the one I wanted to get in front of the church about was he showed me I can't remember if this was a vision or a dream. I think this was a vision. And he's given me visions and dreams since then. Which, all that was like, this is brand new. I've never had anything like this happen before.
Yeah.
This is weird. And it's like I immediately was getting attacked by that's when he showed me I had the authority. I was getting attacked. Mm-hmm. Just like Jesus had to go to the wilderness. And he was getting attacked, basically.
Right.
So you have to just know that you're the one that has the power.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was two things I said. And I was trying to be humble about it. I don't know if people took it wrong. I say, I have the power.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like, I have the power. I have the power because of what the Holy Spirit is in me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is he showed me this big white horse. It was just like this big white horse was raised up. And I just saw the top half of it. And he was facing the east. That's all I can remember. He was facing the east. That's what kept coming in my head. And right over there was a banner over him, and it said, Peaceful Spirit.
Wow.
Hmm. Wow.
Hmm.
He doesn't want a war with me or anybody else.
Wow.
He's peaceful.
Hmm.
He's the peaceful spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's above all of it. So I just like, oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. That was part of my personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just my personal, and then it's like, oh, I got to share that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's like driven in. So another one he gave me was a dream, and I've shared this dream, and I'm standing in front of the Lord, and the cross is like here, and he's sitting right here, and I'm like, right here. It's like right here. And he said it. And I look on this cross and there's two keys hanging. And it says Dom. And looking at me and he hands me the keys. And so I took the keys. And I went to unlock the chains that were on the shackles.
Mm-hmm.
But they were already unlocked.
Wow.
Mm.
And I was like, oh. And then this other key, there was a door in front of me. And it's like, okay, this key goes to a door. And I wanted to put it in the door, but the door was already open. He had already given me access.
Mm.
So I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And so one, and I stepped into a room, and when I stepped into the room, the words that came to my mind was awesome, incredible, wow. Mm-hmm. And it was just things he's like, this is what I had to show you. It's just stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And so then I look over to my right, and there's this door that's kind of up high, and I could never figure that one out for a while, and I was like, oh, he keeps giving you revelation. I mean, to this day, it comes up. These things come up in my mind, again, by either somebody teaching or saying something, but it's like he has all this stuff laid out for us. Mm-hmm. But you can only handle so much because mm-hmm. we're human. Mm. And he's got more for you. But you don't see that door until you, this room, you kind of like he gave it all to you. Mm-hmm. And you've experienced it. And it's like, okay, now go through that door. Mm-hmm. And I have more for you. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. So that was cool. So this thing solidifies how I, like, know God. How I look at God. Not just knowing Him, but it's just like He's shown me who He is. Mm-hmm. What did He do for me? Mm-hmm. This is what He wants from me. Mm-hmm. This other time, I'm sitting in my chair at my house, and that's just like I went away. In my mind, I don't know where I went. It's just like next thing I know, like right where Margie's at, the throne of God, I'm just seeing just the white out, just the whole just white, like God sitting there. It's like no features or anything, just the next thing I know, it was like a, I always said it was like a Nike swoosh, but it was like next thing I know, right here in front of my face is the face of Jesus. Mm. Like right out of his heart, bam, looking at me. Oh! And then I wake up and I was like, "What the heck was that?" Mm-hmm. That's Jesus is God's heart. That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. He's the heart of God, heart of the Father. This is what He wants for us. He wants us to see His heart, but you have to open your heart. And so what I learned about head knowledge and heart knowledge is, this is the way I take it. Head knowledge, you hear it, you rattle it around in here and think about it and hope it absorbs in you and do something with it. Mm. Accept it or not accept it. What I say about the heart knowledge and the revelation that I get is that it go. He said He would put His laws on your heart, write them on your heart. So He puts His word in your heart. I've read the word, and the word is alive, and it'll cut you to the bone and the marrow, right? And it has done that. But this is different. It just, when it says that, I'll hear something from somebody, and it cuts me. It's like, whoa. Then it goes up here. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was at first, but when somebody might say something, I'll just like when you were teaching, they're like, oh my gosh, this is just like, this is talking to me, but it's talking to me different, you know, I relate to it different now. It's like, oh my gosh. So then it goes to your head, it transforms your mind. So I've learned our minds have to be transformed because we're born in this world and we're getting the worldly views, and He's giving you something to get to your head. So you can do something with it down here and know who He is.
Yeah.
Come on.
So when I first had this happen to me as far as being baptized by the Holy Spirit, I watched Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. And I've known my whole life what Jesus did for me. He died for me. He saved me.
Amen.
I know that. But I could not watch that movie. Well, let's say this, put this way, without doing this. Mm-hmm. The entire time He's getting beat up. So, I'm like, wow. So, through all this stuff that's happening like that, when I watch that, I was like, man, He did that for me. He did that for everyone, whether they liked him or not. They did it. He did it more. They didn't murder him. He just laid his life down. He said, I came down here so you guys would know who I am and could overcome the world, and that you could conquer the world also because of me. So I had never been able to look at that, just look at it without, he's my friend. Mm. He says it. He said, I lay down my life for my friend. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're his friend. We're not just holy gods. Mm-hmm. He is, but he's just hey, I didn't have to come down here and bail you guys out, basically, for what Adam did. Mm-hmm. Adam made a mistake, and I want you for my good pleasure. And that's another thing I learned. He made us for his good pleasure, so why would God, as I learned in theologies and all that other stuff, you're sick. Well, that's God's will. He doesn't want to really heal you, and I don't know why he doesn't want to heal you, but he's sovereign and he knows, but that's not what I've learned. God is good, and he wants the best for us at all times.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He made us to be free. Mm-hmm. He made us to make our own decisions. I learned that I could have another tool, and it was basically by Brad. You get saved, you have the Holy Spirit. You're saved, your spirit's saved. Now I get another gift to have, and you don't have to take it. It's not going to make you not go to heaven, but you're just going to tarry. The way he puts it, Jesus said, you just tarry until you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I look at it like I was tarrying for 52 years or whatever, And now I know what he wants from me. I know. Is it easy sometimes? No. This isn't easy for me. I'm not the speaker. But I know I needed to do this, and he has said to me many times, you got to share that. Well, I don't really want to do that. You need to share this. So, do I share it now or wait? And, sometimes I don't know if I know how to interpret that just right yet. But, so I try to be respectful. And, hey, Peter. I think I should say this. This isn't probably a good time, or this is a good time. Okay. So I just try to hold my reins back better than I used to. It's just like you see, hey, Joshua, I got something to say. Hey, Brad, I got something to say. And it's like, I don't know if that was the right thing to do, but all I knew, it was busting out of me.
Yeah.
It's just like, I got to say it. I got to say it. I don't know exactly what I'm saying because it just went into my heart, and I'm just going to say what I'm saying, and hopefully it helps somebody, but I don't know if that was the right thing or not, but it was a learning process for me.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Yes.
I think that's about it.
Religion to grace, I thank Peter and Brad for that. That's no joke. I admonish anyone who laughs at the parts that you were talking about, because the letter killed. Okay.
Amen.
There's too many times that I almost died because of religion. I sometimes slip back into religion, and I gotta call Peter to get me back to grace. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some of us are silently dying still today because of religion. Sometimes it's violent. For me, it's violent. But I just want to thank you, because when I challenge everyone else to share your testimony, if we're all supposed to love each other, how am I supposed to love you if you don't share the light that's in you from God? You know what I mean? So I just have to be vulnerable, and I just thank you for sharing.
Amen.
And I thank God for the grace on this church.
Amen.
Thanks, appreciate that. And
one more thing, like you said, you have a key. That key, with your faith, you can get masses. I want to hear more. I can't stop. I want to hear some more.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That sounds great. Yeah. When I learn the truth, the old wine gets in the wineskin, and that's what's messing everybody up. Everybody wants to teach the kids just about the Old Testament, but it's different than you got to get. I don't know. It's just, but thank you.
Didn't Don do a great job? He shared with me what he wanted to share, and I thought, oh, that's great, because like I said at the beginning, it puts a picture to some of the things we've been talking about. And you heard there was three really good things at three churches. There was salvation, there was the grace message, and then there was a personal Holy Spirit encounter with who God is, knowing him personally. So I just thought it showed that in just a beautiful way. So, okay, I think it's time to eat.